And we'll recite the Sufi invocation of Hazrat Inayat Khan. Towards the One, the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the only being united with all the illuminated souls who form the embodiment of the Master, the Spirit of Guidance. And we think about this because as we think about the forming of the Master, the embodiment of the Master, that of course is the embodiment of the message of spiritual liberty. And those that are interested in invoking the feminine, we invoke the mother here, mother, father. And it's always good at this moment as we begin to ask for the guidance of all the masters, saints, and prophets. And you may have a special person or being that you want to invite here with us to help guide us and illuminate this session together. And so we may do that. And sometimes it's also good to invite someone that maybe we have a little hardship with. See if you can invite that soul to come and sit in peace with you. Amen. So today is a really interesting class for me, at least, and we've been focusing on a series called The Deeper Side of Life on various subjects. Today is humanity in character. And I find this class most interesting and illuminating, we would say. So these are in Hazrat Inayat Khan's words, and I draw the teachings from different sources of Murshid's message volumes. Those are always cited at the bottom of the document because I attach the notes to every posting that we have of classes. So Murshid says this: there's one thing to be a man or a woman, and there's another thing to be a person by completing the individuality in which is hidden the purpose of one's coming to earth. Let me just see some heads wag. Do you think you'd like to hear that sentence again? Pretty profound. I mean, we could stop there and contemplate that for the next hour. Here it is. There's one thing to be a man or a woman, and there's another thing to be a person by completing the individuality which is hidden in the purpose of one's coming on earth. That's so profound to contemplate that. The individuality which is hidden in the purpose of one's coming to earth. Murshid goes on to say, angels were made to sing the praise of the Lord, and jinns, of which is one of the realms that we acknowledge in Sufism, which could also be called the realm of, sometimes it's translated as genius. Jinns are to imagine our world, or be creative, sort of further scientific thought, that comes from the jinn plane. To dream and to meditate, this is from the jinn plane also. But human beings are created to show humanity in character. Human beings are created to show humanity in character, through our character, through our body, our speech, our mind. It is this which makes one a person, not just a body and not just a specimen of biology, but a person. There are many difficult things in life, but the most difficult of all is to learn and to know and to practice the art of personality. Nature, people say, and I'm wanting to kind of focus on that word nature because it's kind of different than our environment. This is, Murshid is talking about our inner nature, or maybe our inherent nature, not necessarily the nature which comes from God, but it also does come from God. But we might have our own sort of human nature. So, think about nature in all its very aspects. So Murshid says here, nature, people say, is created by God and art by man. But in reality, in the making of personality, it is God who completes divine art. Pir Vilayet, who was one of Murshid's sons, would often say, and I don't know if he was quoting Bastami, someone might know, the Sufi mystic, but he would remind us frequently, let's say in retreat, that God was yearning to know him, herself, through us. So we become a ray of the divine, but we also become a reflection of the divine. Back to Murshid's words. It is not what Christ has taught that makes his devotees love him. They dispute over those things in vain. It is what him himself was. What he himself was. It was what he was. And Murshid says, and it is that which is loved and admired by his devotees. When Jesus Christ said to the fishermen, "Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men," what did it mean? It meant, I will teach you the art of personality, which will to become as a net in this sea of life. For every heart, whatever be the grade of evolution, will be attracted to the beauty of the art of personality. Now, in Sufism, we also have this term, fana. And fana is like sort of self-surrender of the ego. And we have a term called fana fi Murshid, fana fi Sheikh, fana fi Allah. So these are all sort of in the manner of our Sheikh, our teacher, our initiator, God. They're variations of realization. And how do we learn those things? Which again is this art of personality. How did Jesus Christ's disciples learn from him? By observing him. And maybe even in a way, imitating his manner. It's an honorable path because we have to set aside who we think we are and practice. It's like practicing. More will be said. I wanted to pause here and I wanted to do a practice that I think helps us reflect on this much of this teaching. And those that have been following the classes know we've been working over the months with a practice called the two sacred names, divine names, Yakabit, Yabasit. And Kabit is the constrictor or contractor, and Basit is the expander, releaser. And the context in which we've been doing this practice is that we have focused on looking deep within ourselves and acknowledging those traits within our personality that could use refinement. And we all have them. We all see that we have certain things that we could do better at. And if we take ourselves to task, it's worthy to do at the end of it each day to look at oneself and one's behavior. Could I have done things better or what did I do well? Both of those are valuable. So we were looking at those things that we felt we could honestly do better. And with Kabid, we were drawing those things into ourselves with kind of this image of how the earth creates a diamond. It's through this compression. And kind of this pressure of kind of drawing in. And then when we use the word Basit, we thought of it as if pouring forth from our heart. You sometimes see this image in James Bond movies or other ones where they have this black velvet little bag and they drop the diamonds from it. Well, we were thinking of that, like allowing these beautiful, precious gems to flow from our heart with the intention of open-handedly offering those qualities to the world and expressing them in our interactions with others. So I wanted you to understand that, because this leads us now to the practice that we're doing today, one of the practices that we're doing today. And this practice is Yajami. Yajami, in a very simple sense, means the gatherer, but I'm going to offer a little more explanation here. While Yajami is the gatherer, it also means to come back together. So you're starting to get this idea of these diamonds that are out there, to come back together, to bring all the parts into a whole. Aljami means to return home. And where's home? It's our heart. But what is our heart connected to? The divine source. So bringing ourselves home, to return to the real self, not the one that gets developed from life's experience, which is also very valuable, of course. We're not trying to get away from life. We're trying to get further in life with some realization, hence the practices. Yajami is the constant process of becoming reconnected with wholeness, reconnected with wholeness. It is sometimes called the grand synthesis, the joining of all joinings, the gatherer, the uniter, the collector, collecting those diamonds, the one who reconciles and unites, the one who gathers together that which has been dispersed. So hopefully with this description, you can see now what we're going to do is we're going to gather all these beautiful qualities back together and sort of look at them. Let them become part of our heart quality. Let ourselves own them, not in an egoistic sense, but in a spiritual sense, so we can further reflect them out to the world. Bringing beauty, the art of beauty, the art of personality. So sometimes we do an abridged version of this practice, but today I think not. I think we shall do them 101. So the first 101 we will say aloud with the prefix ya, which is an invocation of respect to this divine quality, asking it to listen to us and to come nearer to us. We'll do that 34 times. The next 34 times, we will just whisper, but we'll drop the ya. We hope God, with God's good grace, that we come closer, or that the divine quality draws closer to us. So no need to call aloud, but more whisper, a sense of intimacy. And then the next 33 to complete the 101 cycle, we just breathe that quality in and feel it within. Keep breathing in Yajami, the gatherer, the uniter. Okay. And I'll guide us. I'll keep count here. You can also keep count if you have your prayer beads near. There was something else that came that I wanted to share. Let me see if I can recollect it. Well, it flitted in and out. Maybe it'll come back during this class. If not, it doesn't. It must not have been that important. So we say, let me just say it a few times. Jami is spelled with a J-A-M and then apostrophe. So there's a little bit of a stop at the end of it. So it goes, ya Jami, ya Jami. It's a little bit of a purposeful stop. Okay. Like once we gather things, we hold them. Ya jami, we'll keep them there. Deep breath. Ya jami, 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 ya jami. Ya jami, 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 ya jami. Ya jami, ya jami, ya jami, ya jami, ya jami, ya jami, ya jami. Last time, ya jami. Now we whisper. And we can do this both on the inhalation and exhalation like this. Jami, Jami, Jami. Now breathe in, Jami, and feel this sweeping of the universe of these beautiful qualities that you're bringing back into your being. Not for a selfish purpose, for better understanding, so that they can be further refined and shared with the world. Just breathe in and out, Jami. Now sit with that vibration for a few minutes. Yeah, Jami. At the end of the class, if there's something you want to share regarding the practice or questions, we can do that. We go back to, I do remember what I was going to say about this practice and the sequence and number that we do our practices. It was a profound evolution in the expression of mathematics when the Arabs came up with the idea of a zero, and that by adding a zero after a numeral, it increased it by tens. That's really an incredible advancement, number one. Number two, 101 is usually done, although I know that some people have been instructed to use their Tospi and say the practice is 99. I think that's also very beautiful because we are told that there are 99 names in sacred names in the Holy Book of the Quran. So that's also a good way. I also have studied a little bit about Fatima, who was the supposedly favored daughter of Muhammad. And when she went to her father and asked for help after she became a young bride, she was thinking she might have a servant dedicated to her to help with their housework and so forth. And her father said, "I will give you three helpers." And he prescribed Subhanallah, which is the one that's kind of a purification of the heart. We associate that a lot of times with the Blessed Virgin Mary. He gave her Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, all praise and honor are due to God alone, and Allahu Akbar, which means God is great, God is peace. And he did prescribe to her, say the first Subhanallah 34 times, say the next Alhamdulillah 34 times, and lastly say Allahu Akbar 33 times. So I was instructed by my teacher to do practices in this manner. You do them however your teacher has described. There's no right or wrong. The most important thing is that you think about your practices every day. Okay. Back to the words of Hazrat Anait Khan. What does humankind seek in another person? What does a person expect in a friend? We may want a friend who's rich, of a high position, of a great power, of wonderful qualifications, of wide influence. But beyond and above all, we expect from a friend the humane qualities, which are the art of personality. So we don't have to look very far, where we see that there are people that have this, they have a wealth, they have position, they may be in places of power, et cetera, et cetera. Nonetheless, maybe some of those people, although we wish them well and we hope they'll do good work in the world, maybe we don't want to be too close to those people because they also express qualities that we find inharmonious with our being. And that's what Demersus is talking about, that we expect more humane qualities of our friends, a deep understanding, a deep caring that's not especially based on commerce, wealth, acquisitions, but this deep connection at a very human level. So that's what Murshid is trying to highlight here. And then he goes on to say, if one's friend lacks the art of personality, all the above things are of but little use and value. So think about that, because we have friends to us, but we are also a friend to others. So we want to try to keep developing this art of personality, not a shroud we put on, not a pretense. We want to be authentic. We want to be natural. And but we want to have this art of personality. We want to develop that. So there's a question that Murshid poses here. And he says, there is a question. How are we to learn it? How are we to learn the art of personality? And he says, excuse me, let me take a sip of water. I ate something salty before class. Wasn't the good thing to do, perhaps. We learn it by our love of art, by our love of beauty in all its less various aspects. Do you understand? Less various aspects. We understand it by our love of beauty in all its less various aspects. So now there's something very subtle in that statement. It's to look at the more subtle dimensions of things, penetrate with insight into things, If we're attracted to something, what is it that attracts us? What's the beauty within? Murshid goes on to say, the artist learns art by admiration of beauty. When a person gets an insight into beauty, then the art of arts are learned, which is the art of personality. A person may have 1,000 qualifications or rank or position. A person may possess all the goods of the earth, but if the person lacks the art of personality, they are indeed poor. It is by this art that one shows the nobleness which belongs to the kingdom of God. Now, any of you that have studied at all Sufism, a language art, a visual art, a performance art, your profession in any way, I mean, what he's talking about here is that, let me take the example of a musician, because Murshid was a musician. We start out with the most basic scales and we practice and practice and practice and practice and practice until we perfect that. Then those scales start to combine to make music and we study that. But do we start right away writing our own music? No. We study the masters. We play the master's music. We listen deeply. We understand the harmonics, the melodies, the contrast. We look deeply into those things. And by doing so, we understand something that perhaps is far beyond our ability in the beginning. And from that place, we might develop things further. It's like in the scientific realm. We know that Albert Einstein brought many advancements in the thinking of physics, but it went beyond that. That sort of gave way to this whole new notion of physics, you know, that it is waves and its particles expressing themselves in parallel universes, things that we can comprehend if we look deeply. But again, the point is, I think the innate art is within us, but we have to uncover it. And so Murshid's guiding us towards that. And hopefully these practices will help as well. And if some of you are interested in going back and picking up Kabid Basit, it might be good if you haven't done that before. I always advise people that are not guided by me to speak to their teachers about that. I want to really respect the path that your teacher has you on. And it's always respectful to seek the guidance of your teacher. It can be confusing, we'll say, to mix the practices. It's like mixing medicine. So you want to be mindful of that. Okay. Oh, let's see. Where did we leave off? I'll go back one sentence. A person may have 1,000 qualifications or rank or position. A person may possess all the goods of the earth, but if a person lacks the art of personality, they are indeed poor. It is by this art that one shows the nobleness which belongs to the kingdom of God. The art of personality is not a qualification. The art of personality is not a qualification. It is the purpose for which we were created. It is the purpose for which we were created. And it leads to that purpose. And it leads us to that purpose in the fulfillment, which is our entire satisfaction. Wait, did I say that right? Satisfaction, Joe, is that correct? Joe's falling asleep, maybe. Did I say it correct? Satisfaction. Yeah, okay. I have these little, I get a little out there. Let me read the whole sentence again, okay? It's beautiful. The art of personality is not a qualification. It is the purpose for which we were created, and it leads us to that purpose in the fulfillment of which is our entire satisfaction. By this art, we not only satisfy ourselves, but we please God. Does anyone want me to read that again? Yeah, okay. I'm going to read it one more time. It's so deep. And of course, we'll post this on our website so you can go back. And if you wish to reference the entire teaching that this is drawn from, you can do so there. The art of personality is not a qualification. It is the purpose for which we were created. And it leads us to that purpose in the fulfillment of which is our entire satisfaction. By this art, we not only satisfy ourselves, but we please God. It's so beautiful. So I'd like for us to focus on one more practice here together, which goes with the Yajami, but also enhances this whole teaching. And it's a coupling of two different sacred names. One's Rauf. Rauf, spelled R-A-apostrophe-U-F. And the other one is Rahim. Rahim. So I'll talk a little bit about these two sacred names, and then we'll do them together. Al-Rauf is quiet, gentle, indwelling love that actively, not passively, actively penetrates to the deepest and most profound place. Quiet, gentle, indwelling love that penetrates to the deepest and most profound place. This kind of love goes right to the essence of what it means to be human, the character of humanity, what it means to be human. Al-Ra'uf helps heal the crucial problem of the ego personality's self-identification with deficiency and inability, which is caused by its wounded condition. It works to heal the effects of not being seen and accepted by humanity. It manifests a peaceful calm, a resting in God that especially arises in the midst of difficulties and trials. How important is that? Oh, yeah, it's easy to be calm sitting on the beach or your own lily pad alone somewhere or in nature, whatever. No, that's not the point. Can we do it in the midst of difficulties and trials? Very, very important. It's when the challenges arise, can we also have this love quality that goes right to the essence of something? If we can, perhaps we have deep insight into the situation, what has gone amiss, or what's creating the difficulty. Al-Ra'uf's inner quality is awakened in similar manner to the way steel is tempered by the process of making a sword. Well, that's no gentle way, is it? No. The steel is put into fire and hammered, hammered, hammered again and again. I know I've made this analogy a bazillion times for all of you, but I still love it. When studying the art of Michelangelo, you know, it is said in his diaries, in his journals, that when he would sort of quarry a piece of marble, that he actually could see within it what was emerging to be the sculpture. Well, then what happens to that marble? It gets subjected to being chiseled, 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 pieces of marble flying off, sanded and rubbed and polished. So this is what's happening to us, to our heart, to these qualities that need to be chipped off and polished, polished, polished. The art of zikr, it's So I'm glad you're doing that, David. It's a very important practice. Very important. Al Ra'uf's inner quality is awakened in a similar way to the steel and the way it is tempered in the process of making the sword. Now, we've talked about this sword in our previous classes because we see that. We see Saint Michael with the sword. We see the God of Wisdom, Manjushri, with the sword. We see Saint George slaying the dragon with the sword. It is a continual symbol for slashing through ignorance and awakening good qualities. So it's interesting that Murshid also brings that in here. Now, this is important because in the beginning it says, Ra'uf is a quiet, gentle, indwelling love. But then it goes on to say, at the same time, it is not a passive calm. It is not a passive calm. It faces hostility, slander, and corruption with serenity, while at the same time, it has a soothing effect that reaches the very core of the apparent, maybe imagined a little bit, the apparent enemy. While at the same time, it has a soothing effect that reaches the very core of the apparent enemy. I guess the question is, what if we can't reach that core? Do we give up? Or do we just keep loving and trying to reach it? It's so important. And I know some of you know this lesson. We've talked about it. It's often when we're ready to forgive, the other may not be. And it's a great imposition on someone to expect that of them. Best to let them have their space and love them from afar and keep good thoughts. So patience is also required here. The explanation of Al Ra'uf goes further. Ya Ra'uf is close to the meaning of Ya Rahim. And some of you know that. It's one of the first qualities mentioned in the Quran. And they are beneficial when chanted together. Realization of these two qualities in your heart and in your life brings what is most necessary to become a wholehearted human. And Rahim is the embodiment of loving mercy. And it brings a gentle touch of divine mercy. Nothing other than Rahim possesses the mercy that pours forth freely and fully reaches all beings and all things without exception. Rahim is absolute tenderness, gentleness, and kindness. So let us do these two practices together. Again, we will say, Ya Ra'uf, Ya Rahim. Ya Ra'uf, Ya Rahim. A little bit of an extra aspiration on Him, Rahim. You know, it's a little, the language is subtle in the aspiration, and we don't use those kinds of notes in our language, but it's good to practice them. It does something different to the breath and perhaps alters the consciousness a bit. So let me say it a few times, and then you can join me when you have the rhythm. Ya Ra'uf, Ya Rahim. 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 Ya Rauf, Ya Rahim, 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 Ya Rauf, Ya Rahim. Now whispering. Breathing in, penetrating, giving loving mercy. Rahim, now just silently. Ya Ra'uf, Ya Rahim. Just sit with the vibration of that practice for a minute or so. So if I may, in the last few minutes of this last time together, and again, I'll stay after if you'd like to have any conversation about the class or questions or comments or observations. But a couple of things come to mind that I think highlight these teachings in a really interesting way, a unique way, perhaps. As I tell you, I think you'll see the same. So Murshid is kind of reflected on, yes, maybe we want friends that have wealth and position and are insightful and intelligent, but those things are not important next to having love in one's heart, charity, and trying to be the best human being one can be. We live here in South Florida, which draws a lot of people. If you're homeless, it's a good place to be. We also live on the beach, and there are facilities for showering along the way for people to take wash the sand off. There are laboratories, water fountains, kind of pavilions with shade. So it does draw people that have fallen on hard times for whatever reason. Now, the interesting thing is early in the morning, usually before sunrise, I go to walk our big pup, Kelsey. And I'm encountering these homeless people. Most of them are men, but a few of them are women. They tend to create groups. And I feel that they must do that for their protection, because it has to be, one can be subject to a great many things living in a homeless way. But I have to say, every single one of them, every day, addresses me in the most beautiful way. It's like those stories of the Sufis that wear the tattered cloth, but they have this graciousness. And these men, and sometimes women, really express that. They've never asked me for anything, but they always share a smile. And I feel very certain that if I became in trouble in some way, they would come to my rescue. It happened that maybe it was even last year, there was an incident at the restroom facility not too far from us. And it was almost this gang mentality. I don't know exactly the circumstance, but I think someone tried to get ahead of people. Maybe they were feeling ill or really had to use the restroom. And people started beating this person up. And guess who came to that person's rescue? It was the homeless trying to break it up and protect, get the people away. So I just say this because I feel it's so important that we see everybody. We love everybody. We acknowledge everybody. We become, try to become friends with everybody. Anyway, I wanted to share that with you. These same experiences happened in India with the homeless there as well, the beggars. So there's something, maybe quite humble and simple. I'm not saying some people aren't disturbed and we shouldn't be mindful and careful, but anyway, just wanted to share that because I think for me, as I was doing these practices, and you all know, I kind of take them up at least a month ahead of time so I can go deep into them to share something with you. This kept coming up, so I wanted to share it with you. And it's good to remember at the close of our practices this one simple thing. If there's anything good that's come from this practice together, that comes from our daily practice, let us be mindful to ask that that goodness, that wholesomeness, that love and compassion spread out in infinite waves. Encircling all of creation. And so we dedicate whatever good may have come from this time together for all sentient beings. My little public service announcement. We appreciate people's generosity. We don't charge for these classes, but we ask for contributions, great or small, doesn't matter, but it helps. It helps to keep the light on, so to speak. We do have to pay for our technology and our means of housing the archives of teachings and the Zoom that allows people to come and for us to have longer classes if necessary, et cetera, et cetera. So if something touches your heart and speaks to you, many of you are already monthly contributors and you're very good about that. So I thank you for your ongoing and monthly support. You've set that up as an ongoing contribution, but it does help. And so I appreciate that very much. And it helps us to, again, support the archives and to get the message spreading far and wide. There's a number of ways you can do that. Sufi message, sufi-message.org donate button, or on Facebook, because I always post it on Facebook, and you can offer something there. All right, we're going to close with the prayer Khatum by Hazrat Anay Khan. O thou who art the perfection of love, harmony, and beauty, the Lord of heaven and earth, open our hearts that we may hear thy voice, which constantly cometh from within. Disclose to us thy divine light, which is hidden in our souls, that we may know and understand life better. Most merciful and compassionate God, give us thy great goodness. Teach us thy loving forgiveness. Raise us above the distinctions and differences which divide men. Divide us. And unite us all in thy perfect being. Blow the sacred sound from your mouth into the palms of your hand. Raise your hands up and bestow the blessings as if from your teacher and Murshid. Thank you for being here and for your time.